Today is Sunday, August 21st, 2016, and this...
Las Vegas is like a giant kaleidoscope, constantly changing and growing. It pulsates with new sights and sounds. There's always something to see, always something to do.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 565. Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this weekend?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready to talk about some fun Vegas-y things.
Sure.
News and whatnot. So let's just jump right in.
Okay.
I don't have the usual preamble, although now I just did. We have lots of things to talk about. We're finally going to talk about the rest of our trip stuff that we've been putting off, and we've got some good phone calls, too. But first... some news. All right. We have some more clarity on the absinthe move from Caesar's Palace to Cosmopolitan, thanks to an interview in Las Vegas Weekly with the show's creator. He said that the show's showroom, which is currently part of the Rose Rabbit Lie establishment, will be completely separated from Rose Rabbit Lie.
Hmm.
So there will no longer be the flow between... the venues of Rose Rabbit Lie. It will be a separate thing, and it may be getting its own name. So I'm a little bit surprised by this, just because it would seem like they would want to capitalize on the success of Absinthe and then funnel people into the bar.
But yep.
They could still do that, I suppose. It's just a matter of leaving one venue and going into the other rather than just like the immediate, you automatically go into the bar once you're done with
Yeah.
So that's happening. He also mentioned that the opening date, or the article mentioned the opening date at Cosmo will be November 1st. So they're not wasting a lot of time between when it closes in October. I think it's October 21st at Caesars and reopens at Cosmo. So that is the status of Absinthe as we know it right now. No update on the legal disputes and whether or not, or the pending legal disputes. I don't think there's anything officially that's been filed on that. So as of right now, Absinthe is moving. We'll have a new home in November. All right, we got a couple news items this week from our Facebook group because we have feet on the ground thanks to our thousands of listeners. And they like to let people know. So one of the items, and I haven't seen this reported anywhere else, so here's a tip for anybody who wants to keep up on things. Monday morning, when you see this show up in Las Vegas blogs, uncredited.
Yeah, and it will be uncredited.
You'll know who listens to the show and gets a lot of their ideas from us. Wayne Newton, you may have heard of him. He's a legendary Las Vegas performer. He has a show at Bally's right now in the Windows showroom. And Wade, on our Facebook group, tipped us off that there had been some cancellations of his upcoming shows. So I looked into it, and all the weekend shows in August, September, and October have been canceled, which is a little bit unusual. He's just doing shows on weekdays when I would think it would be harder to fill a room.
Yeah.
And then all shows after October 27th have been canceled. So I suspect this is the end of the line for Wayne's up-close-and-personal show at Bally's. I think after October, it's probably going away. Although when I contacted Bally's about this, they were a little bit non-committal. They're like, well, we... receive word that he's changing his schedule and we haven't received new dates. And so I don't think they're officially saying it's canceled yet. They'll probably wait until it's closer to the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing...
because they still want to sell tickets.
Yeah. I'm guessing that it's on its way out. So if you want to see Wayne Newton, you don't have much longer, most likely, to check him out at Bally's.
Do you think he'll go on to another venue, or do you think he'll...
No, I don't think so. I mean, I suppose it's possible he could show up, but The reviews of the show have been good. It's like this, the reviews that we've had both here and that I've read are, hey, the show is really good except for Wayne's voice, which everybody knew going in that his voice was shot. It has been for years, but, you know, he's a good entertainer. He tells good stories. He can play a bunch of different instruments. Unfortunately, he can't sing anymore, so... That is the scoop on that. Thanks to Wade for posting that to the Facebook group. Appreciate you tipping us off to that. And thank you on behalf of all the bloggers who won't credit you or us for bringing you this news. This next item is absolutely the least surprising thing that we could talk about this week. Well, one of two. We have two completely unsurprising news items in a row. After less than a year, tenants are fleeing in droves from Pawn Plaza. If you're not familiar with Pawn Plaza, you've probably seen the show Pawn Stars or are at least aware of it, and you know that the pawn shop where that is based has become a tourist trap. And I, you know, people line up to see the shop and they find out, oh, it's just a gift shop with Chumley t-shirts and not really worth seeing. In the parking lot next to that, they built a kind of restaurant and shopping area out of storage containers, much like the downtown container park, which has been fairly successful. But
this has not.
No, we knew it wouldn't be. We talked about it when they were building it. Like, who's going to hang out here?
I forgot it existed.
You don't hear anything about it.
Like, when we're doing our trip planning, we don't think, hey, maybe we should go check. Even though there are some, were some interesting restaurants, we thought, hey, you know, that sounds good, but I never added it to the list of stuff to do.
No, and there was never, no chance we were going to go there.
Yeah, and the thought never even entered my mind when we were there.
Well, the location's shitty. Unless you're already going to the pawn shop and you're going to line up and you're like, oh, let's grab a drink or some food afterwards. I don't see it being a destination. And that's, I know they're trying to capitalize on the success of the show and that they do have lines of people. I don't know if they still do. They have. I don't know if that's still the case. So I can see that, well, let's take advantage of them and try to get some of their money.
Right.
But again, it's in a shitty neighborhood. I just don't see people, even if they do go to the pawn shop, wanting to hang out there afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the venues that are now empty, the merchants that have closed, include Las Vegas Flip Flops, which that's going to close anywhere. A flip-flop shop.
Doesn't everybody already have flip-flops?
I don't, but nor do I want them.
Everybody
Thank you. Everybody who has them wants them. I don't see that you're going to sell a ton of flip-flops anywhere. That's like a kiosk kind of thing. I don't know. Anyway, Las Vegas Flip-Flops. And the other three are restaurants. We've got their donut shop, Pawn Donuts. That's closed. And then Inagata de Pizza, which we love the name.
Oh, yeah.
So their pizza place closed. And then Smokes Poutinerie, which was... But one of the things people were looking forward to, because it's a known entity, it's gotten good reviews, you know, in other locations, and
I'm hoping they show up elsewhere.
I think it would do really well if it was at like the Link or the park, but having it in a shit location, no, not good. It would probably even do well at downtown Container Park, but not at Pawn Plaza. So that's four of, I don't know how many they have total. I looked at the list of tenants. They still have Rick's Roland Smoke Barbecue as kind of their main tenant. And then they have, I think, Rita's Italian Ice, and there's some sort of a massage place and not much else.
Wait.
No, like just a little like back massage.
Oh, okay.
So there's not a lot happening there, and I've got to think. Oh, so one of the article and news story from KTNV, one of the Las Vegas news channels, an unnamed owner of one of these businesses said that on a good day they got 30 to 40 customers, and they were often struggling to make $200 a day.
Oh,
that doesn't bode well for the other tenants. I'm guessing that we're going to see this place come down within a year. The poutine place and the pizza place, which had good reputations, if they didn't draw people just on their reputation, I don't know what they could possibly do to make this a destination. I don't see it
happening. Bouncy Castle?
Parabouncy Castle?
Parabouncy Castle. Oh, that conjures up an image that...
Pawn Plaza was a bad idea from the start, and I just don't see it being a success. So we'll see how long the rest of it... hangs on, but I'm guessing it won't be too long. And see, now they have the problem too. It's like now there's even less there. Mm-hmm. So the remaining shops are going to struggle even further. And
have we reached peak pawn? I think we've passed it.
Yeah, very much so.
We've been past it for a while. Yeah, we never watched it anymore. We used to watch it all the time.
Yeah.
It was one of those background shows like, hey.
And now it's like, no.
Like, not really background, but just, hey, this is on. We'll watch it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn off my brain for an hour and watch two episodes of Pawn Stars.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just gotten so shticky.
Their wacky antics. Yeah. So in other unsurprising news, and this again, thanks to a tip from Jeff on the Facebook group on Monday. I think this is since broke in other locations, but Jeff posted it before it had been widely reported that Pete Rose's name has been removed from his bar and grill at the Hawaiian Village on the Strip, or Hawaiian Marketplace, whatever that thing is called, after less than a year. So it was Pete Rose's Bar and Grill, and now it's just Bar and Grill, or Sports Bar and Grill. I'm guessing it will go through some sort of renaming if it stays open. It is open now. They've removed all of Pete's memorabilia, or at least most of it. And not a shock, that location is not great. I mean, you'd think it would be because it's on the Strip, it's high traffic, but the Hawaiian Marketplace area is kind of a...
It's a place you go through on your way to somewhere else.
Yeah, people don't stop there. So I'm guessing Pete probably did fine from this because it was likely a licensing deal. Generally, when you see a celebrity's name on a restaurant, they don't have more than a few percentage points of ownership. Usually it's just they've licensed their name and their memorabilia and they get paid regardless of how well it does. Sometimes they own part of it or something, but I suspect this is just a licensing deal, especially because his name is already gone with little fanfare. And
are we ever going to see a Pete Rose Hit King slot machine?
Hmm. I'm sure if somebody wanted it, he would be willing to license his name and image.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of like, are there, I'm trying to think now. Okay, so that's a good, you bring up a good point. Sports-themed slot machines or athlete-themed slot machines. Can you think of any?
No, not really.
I can't either. I'm kind of surprised that some...
It's usually TV shows or movies.
Yeah, and music.
We've seen an increase in music. Yeah, maybe this could be the new wave.
There we go. We're offering a million-dollar idea to slot manufacturers to get on board with some beloved athletes.
Yep. Athletes are constantly looking for endorsements, so.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be after they've retired, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And Pete's not getting in the Hall of Fame at this point, so what does he have to lose to be that closely tied with gambling? He already is. See, that's the other thing. Some of them,
right,
depending on their level of fame.
Right. And they don't want to be...
It has to be somebody who's a character. Like you could do a Big Poppy slot machine because he's, you know, kind of a zany guy, and he's not going to, even though he should, he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame because of the steroid thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he was ever. He's part of the steroid era, which causes. Let's not get into a debate about the Hall of Fame.
No, let's not.
Anyway, I look forward to the emails I get from fucking Red Sox fans. He's going to the Hall.
We're not saying anything. We like him.
I like Poppy. He's amusing.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the worst moves the Twins ever made.
Moving along, insult comic Vinny Favorito is on the move yet again. He's going to be moving from, he's the insult comic, and he's going to be moving from Hooters to Westgate with his new show opening September 7th. This guy moves around more than anybody. This is his third or fourth move this year. And yet people keep, or hotels, resorts keep picking him up. He must be selling some tickets. I don't know what the nature of his deals are. He's probably just renting the room at this point, which is how a lot of these showrooms work. Anyway, September 7th, I didn't even bother to look up pricing or showtimes because nobody who's listening right now is actually going to go see this show. If you haven't seen Vinny already, I'm guessing you're probably not...
going to haul your candy ass over to Westgate?
Candy ass, that's nice. My prediction, next stop for the show will be the Plaza. So I'm thinking he's headed downtown. Finally, speaking of downtown, there are some more details on the replacement venue for Insert Coins on Fremont. And it's going to be called Red, which is kind of a boring name.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't tell you a lot.
You could go a lot of ways with that.
You could. Sammy Hagar themed, Red Wedding themed.
period themed.
Nobody's going there. That's gross. DTLV.com reports that it's going to be, I think we've discussed some of this before, but here's what is how it's shaking out. A video nightclub at night, a sports bar during the day. One of the operators currently DJs at Oddfellows, which is a bar that we rarely talk about at the Ogden, right over by El Cortez. Also kind of a video nightclub thing. It'll have themed dance nights. And then during the day, they're going to use the big screens to show sporting events. Try to keep it going during the day. Now, I have some concerns about this, even though you have a look on your face like you're going to say something completely inappropriate. Go ahead.
No. I'm just pointing out how the venue's name is Red, and your section of the show notes is called Red Flags.
There are some red flags. That was not unintentional. In the article on DTLV.com, there were several things that made me think, oh, this might not be here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Here's what it said. Despite the short timeline, it's going to be opening later this month. So despite an opening coming within just a week or so, the operators are not making a huge marketing push to get the word out about the club.
Okay.
He says the bar will evolve after its opening. Also, Red,
we're going to throw some shit against the wall and see if it sticks.
That's what it seems like. Red will retain the same configuration as Insert Coins.
Hopefully not literal shit, because that would not be a fun place to hang out.
It would be called Brown. With the large bar in the center of the room, the dance floor.
Hopefully
DJ,
it wouldn't be called Red unless you had a lot of beats.
Booth in the back. This is a horrible discussion. They're considering having food delivered from neighboring restaurants. Well, they're opening in a week. Don't you think you might want to figure that out? It sounds to me like they're opening, okay, how can we open this place quickly? We're not going to do any substantial work to the layout of it. We're not 100% certain what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out as we go. We might have food. We might not. Opening especially a bar or restaurant without a business plan.
That's bad.
Is a bad, bad idea. So even though these guys have some sort of track record in running nightclub themed nights, because I guess they do this in LA too, I don't have high hopes for the long-term success of this just based on what I'm hearing here.
The complete lack of
focus. There's no focus. And it's like, let's open quickly, but we're not going to market it yet. We're going to change as we go. That's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope it sticks around. We like to see these businesses last a long time and do well, but
yeah, you know how we love our Fremont Street bars.
It's true. Don't mention that website because it's no longer active. I even pulled the link to that site off of the 500 page.
Wow.
I know. I'm going to do something. It's just going to be like, here's this that just sits here and is never updated, which it is now, but it's going to be different. Anyway, that's the status on Red, on Fremont. If anybody checks it out, you know, when it immediately opens in the next couple weeks, they haven't given an exact date, but like I said, they're hoping by the end of the month. There will be a little fanfare, so if you see the doors open, just stop in. I'm sure you'll have plenty of places to sit. This bums me out. I don't like to see places that are obviously destined to fail, which it seems this place is.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
When is that other place that's had the sign up forever?
The Vault?
Open? Yeah.
Right across the street, it used to be the
it was a
clothing store.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the old, years ago, it was the check cashing place.
Right.
And for, I think, more than a year now, they've had a coming soon sign. And it's supposed to be the people who are running Oak and Ivy who are setting up a new place. But I don't think any work has been done in there. So I won't be surprised if they end up changing the name and the concept. And I don't know. So, yeah, there's a couple spots there in Fremont that have to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
The fondue place, that's closed. And
you're not upset about it?
I guess that's it for right now. But, yeah, I don't know. There hasn't been a date on the Vault or any significant work that I've seen or heard about. So there you have it. That is our news update for the week. Let's talk about our friends at Viator.
Viator! Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm sad to report that summer is coming to an end.
Oh, I know.
It's not, though. I mean, it is, but it's not. A specific date doesn't really mark the end of summer. It's like, it just kind of coasts out as the weather turns shitty. hopefully. It's not too abrupt. But there's a holiday weekend coming up that is the sort of unofficial end of summer here in the U.S. And I'm sure a lot of people are squeezing in one last summer vacation. I salute them for their... We're not going anywhere, so...
No, we're just going to hang out here and drink and yell at the dogs.
A drinkcation. That sounds like a good plan. But if you're going somewhere for Labor Day weekend, let Viator help you make it awesome. I like Labor Day weekend. We've discussed this before.
Oh, yeah.
Labor Day weekend and 4th of July weekend are like the best holidays.
Memorial Day is pretty great, too.
It is, but at least that, I mean, that does have something where it's a little more somber.
And it's somber and you're... Yeah, yeah.
But holidays where you don't have, like, commitments are the best kind. Mm-hmm. And that's how Labor Day and July 4th are. So,
July 4th has to be a three-day weekend, though.
If it's scheduled right, you can make it like a five-day weekend.
True.
Yep. So if you're going somewhere for Labor Day, you can add lots of great things to your trip. Tours, attractions, shows, adventures. I said attractions twice because attractions are great, apparently.
Are they attractive?
They are attractive. Thousands of options in dozens of destinations, stateside and worldwide. I don't know that I've ever used the word stateside before. So you've heard it first here on 5 Huddy. Every major city and tourist destination.
Well, not the word, just you saying it. Not the word, just your saying of it.
Yes, I've never said that word before.
Yeah, but you said you heard it first here.
Yeah, like, you heard like me say it first. Word. I'm going to use it all the time now.
Okay.
And this is the first time. People know me for using the word stateside, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, the first time you ever used it was on that Viator spot for Labor Day stuff. So if you're planning a vacation and you want to make it awesome, check out Viator.com. You can download their iOS and Android apps. Of course, if you're going to book something, please click through 500bymidnight.com's link to Viator before you book, and we get extra credit points. And as always, thank you so much to Viator for their longtime support of the show and for making people's vacations great. Okay, Facebook group post of the week. I'm going with Jeremy's August 19th post. He posed the question. This is one of those what if kind of questions, which sometimes are fun. And he was wondering if people, anybody on the group, had $150 million to spend on renovations at any strip property, which would it be and what would they do? So, of course, there is a flurry of responses, some jokey, some serious. And it's interesting to see what people would, how they would renovate and what they would choose to renovate. I, of course, said I would be tearing down Grand Bazaar Shops and replacing it with my longtime dream, Monkey Poker Dome. Mm. The dream is still alive, folks. So I will post a link in the show notes if you want to comment on that. There's been some other great discussions on the Facebook group as well. Check it out. We have a couple things left to talk about from our most recent trips to Las Vegas or trip to Las Vegas. I was thinking this was spring when we had two back-to-back, but that's not the case. Time flies. All right, so we mentioned a couple weeks ago that we had a, I hesitate to use the word life-changing, but we had a new food item
mm-hmm.
that was beyond delicious that I'm still dreaming about.
Uh-huh.
And surprisingly, okay, I need to backtrack for a second, as I often do on this show.
I was going to say, yeah.
Once again, there was a venue that I said I had no interest in visiting that we ended up going to.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened multiple times here.
Yes, it has.
Keeping track. We did Guy Fieri's. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm not going to go there. Next trip, we found ourselves there reviewing it. What else? There was something else that happened with recently, too. I can't remember. But this one is at Cosmopolitan. It is the new restaurant, Beauty and Essex. And the reason that I didn't really have any interest in going on, you know, first glance is that it's kind of shticky and kind of hipstery and...
It's a little precious.
Little precious. I've been using the word precious a lot lately.
Yeah, and with disdain.
Yeah. So this place is based on a New York club and it has, or New York restaurant, it has a fake, well, kind of fake. I think they actually would sell their stuff if somebody wanted it. They have a pawn shop storefront. No, there's no mention that it's a restaurant. It's just, here's Beauty and Essex, and it looks like a pawn shop. But nobody really thinks it's a pawn shop because everybody knows that it's a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why are we, what's with this fucking charade? I get that. I like this, like, speakeasy concept. You know, when it's kind of like, oh, this actually feels like it's kind of stealthy. But mm-hmm. here it's like everybody just walks through the pawn shop and goes into the restaurant. There's no, I don't know. It's not the same. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we went to Beauty in Essex because we've been hearing amazing things about the food. And we decided to check it out. And we ended up sitting in the lounge area. I think it was because of the way we were dressed.
New Balance.
Nah, well, just in general, we were all pretty casual. Mm-hmm. And when we walked in and said, hey, table for three, they said, well, you can have immediate seating in the lounge area, and they have the full menu there. It was kind of like the, we got a pool, we got a pond. Pond would be good for you. It was one of those deals. And that was fine. So we went into the lounge area, and that was the restaurant looked pretty busy, and the lounge area was pretty busy, too. Mm-hmm. So it may have just have been we would have had to wait a long time. We were hungry, so it was nice to get in right away. So,
the food.
Yeah. Well, first let's talk about like the vibe of the club.
Okay.
They have a DJ in the corner, but it wasn't like super oonsy or anything.
Yeah, it wasn't super loud. You could have a conversation, which was great.
Yeah. It was much more like background music. It wasn't super annoying, which I know sometimes when they have a DJ in a restaurant, it's like, what's the point of even going there if you want to have a conversation? Mm-hmm. Not the case here. You could still talk. Nicely designed, like cool big chandelier in the lounge.
Yeah, it was a cool. It was nicely decorated.
Yep,
dark, and it was also very comfortable.
Very dark.
Yeah.
A lot of beautiful people, mm-hmm. as you often see at Cosmopolitan. It was fun to watch. You know.
Did it attract the curious class?
Oh, everything at Cosmo does. The service
was great.
Was as good as I think I've had anywhere.
Yeah.
Just on the spot with everything, like not pushy, but always making sure that you were satisfied. Do you need anything else?
Yeah.
And we were ordering small plates kind of as we went, or shareable dishes at least. And she kept coming back and checking, you know, do you need anything else? And we did. We were kind of ordering as we went. And
Yeah, we ordered a round, and then we ordered another round. And
food came out quickly.
Yeah.
Drinks came out quickly, even though they were busy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was fantastic. As far as the food went,
oh, my God.
Here's the thing that was most surprising to me. Of all the things we tried, the one that was, like, the least appealing was their macaroni and cheese, which usually that's
the star.
Yeah, so it was okay, but that was the one where I was like, meh, I wouldn't order that again. It was a short rib mac and cheese. It didn't taste like short rib to me. It tasted like tuna.
Oh.
I was like, when I was eating, I'm like, what was this again? And I don't know. It just wasn't, that was the one that we didn't finish. It wasn't, but so skip that. Everything else, fantastic. Do you want to talk about some of the stuff we ordered?
Sure. We had they had a couple of different kinds of dumplings, and the first one that caught our eye was the grilled cheese, smoked bacon, and tomato soup ones.
Yes. And we had heard about those. Someone reviewed those. One of our callers reviewed those. I think it might have been John and Uta who tried that. So that was like the little plastic Asian soup spoons.
Yes.
With tomato soup and little dumplings on them. So you ate them, you know. It was like a bite-sized thing.
But it was so good.
Really good. Really flavorful. Delicious. How many were there? Like five of them or something?
I think there were three.
Oh, was there three?
Three or six.
Okay.
I remember being very happy that
we didn't have to argue over the...
Right.
Okay.
Most of the stuff came in three or six, which was great because then...
Yeah.
We didn't have to pretend to be polite over, oh, you go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Yeah. The four-way stop of dining. It was delicious. So that one, definitely a thumbs up.
Yeah. Would order again.
And then the other dumplings.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
If you're going there, you have to have these. Now, everybody's going to be like, oh, they weren't as good as I thought. whenever we...
Okay, if you don't like this particular food item, you're not going to like... I mean, if you don't like the original particular food item that this is inspired from, then don't get it.
Yeah.
But...
So, French onion soup dumplings.
Yeah.
And they were covered in slathery melted cheese.
Oh, my God.
And they were super hot and just flavorful as hell. We ordered a second batch. They were so good.
We loved them that much. Oh, my God. They were delicious.
They were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one item that I will forever remember and that will bring me back there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We also had fish and chip tacos. Delicious.
Yes.
Those were good. And what was the other thing?
Pulled chicken arepas.
Oh, yeah. Was that those little round
tortilla
things?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Everything was, except for, like I said, except the mac and cheese, which didn't do much for me. Everything was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think for cocktails, I
didn't have any cocktails because I was taking a little break.
And I was just having like Jack and Coke or something, so we didn't really get too far. I think John might have had something off of their cocktail menu, but
it looked good.
We didn't get, we didn't explore that too much. Mm-hmm. But of course, prices are pretty high. You know, it's a nice restaurant. It's at Cosmo. I think most of the dishes were like, what, $18 to $20 each or something. So yeah, we spent a few bucks, but it was totally worth it.
So good. The food was just so good.
A pleasant surprise, a wonderful experience. Like I said, the service was a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recommend it highly enough, which is shocking because...
Considering the first time you talked about it.
Well, I went into it kind of going, But the food, the reviews of the food are what got us really there, and it lived up to that hype.
Mm-hmm. It surpassed the hype, I think.
Yeah, and the experience was better than I would have guessed, too. So if you're looking for a new restaurant to try at Cosmo, I definitely recommend it.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Anything else to say about Beauty and Essex?
I want those French onion soup dumplings in my face right now.
I know. Me too. So tasty.
Oh, they were so good.
The other thing that we haven't talked about yet, and you know, we've talked about Downtown Cocktail Room many times, but we wanted to specifically mention a couple drinks we had this time that were very unusual.
Yeah.
And they changed their menu up seasonally, so I don't know how much longer they're going to be around. But, oh, man. Okay, so yours, what was the drink you had?
Mine was the one a shuck.
Ah, yes. And the one a shuck, oddly enough, tasted like...
Corn. Sweet corn.
Which is something weird that you wouldn't, like, why would you want a drink that tastes like corn? But it worked.
It was delicious, yeah.
I know. I had a sip, and I was like, oh, this is surprisingly good. It was a little sweet and a little... Mm-hmm.
And it had a little bit of bite to it because it had a little jalapeno in it.
Yeah.
But not overpoweringly. And yeah, like just enough to give it a little bit more dimension.
I had a drink that went well with your corn drink because it mimicked the taste of barbecue. Again, odd, but it worked.
Totally worked.
The Sweet Georgia Brown. This is the first cocktail I've ever had that had a cheese stick wrapped in ham as the... As the garnish. And it did. It just tasted like a sweet barbecue.
But it wasn't heavy. It wasn't like syrupy or thick. It was light and carbonated, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
It's like so if you're looking for unusual drinks in your downtown cocktail room, whether they have these on the menu still or not, you know, you're going to get something interesting there.
Mm-hmm. That you can't find anywhere else.
Yeah. And as always, the experience. We went there right when it opened, so we were sitting at the bar and had the whole place to ourselves. Yeah. And we just had the one round, and it was a memorable experience. So I just wanted to mention that, because how often, as I said, do you have a drink that tastes like corn and a drink with ham and cheese as the garnish? It was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we take some phone calls?
Sure.
All right.
Good morning, Tim and Michelle. This is Joe from Minneapolis.
Hello, Joe.
Calling on our first day here in Las Vegas. It is a Saturday morning, and it is 8:30, and we just landed, got ourselves over to our hotel, The Link, and oh my fucking God, we have been inundated with five sets of different people asking if we'd like discounted show tickets. Please, and I'm not even hammered yet to give them a hell of a response. We'll check in. Thanks for what you guys do. We'll talk to you guys later.
The timeshare hawkers are still out in full force. Yeah. Forever a plague in the strip walk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the
porn slappers.
There have been a lot of reports that porn slappers are now...
I say that every time, too.
They're now outnumbered, apparently, by people handing out... Uber and Lyft codes and taxi promo cards, which might have some sort of code on them as well. There's a lot of competition for getting a ride in Vegas.
And in Pahrump.
That's something different, though.
Okay.
That goes back to the porn cards. Yeah, so timeshare people. Bleh. Okay. Yeah.
That used to bother me a lot more than it does, but I think we don't get it as much because we stay downtown more.
Yeah, there's still a few downtown, but...
Yeah.
Usually,
I get pissed off at the lotion people.
You usually, when you see the people that are hawking timeshares, you...
I'll, like, speed up or slow down so we don't look like we're a couple.
I know, and I think it's hilarious. I'm like, just tell them to fuck off.
Inwardly, I want to do that, but at the same time, I feel bad doing it, but at the same time, I don't want to, like, spend time talking to them.
Yeah, well, you can just give them the old middle finger. So, I know, same thing, but... Okay.
Or just say no thank you and keep walking.
Or that. I like to, I don't know what I like to do. I don't really tell them to fuck off that often. Once in a while, if I'm cranky and they're persistent, I will, but.
Once in a while, if you're cranky.
I know, it's rare. I'm not cranky very often in Las Vegas. Only when I'm tired and or hangry. That only happens like a couple times a trip.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up.
All right, it's Al from San Diego with a trip report.
Hello, Al.
So, finally got to Vegas for more than a weekend stay. This whole year, I've been flying in on Friday night, coming home early Sunday morning. Work schedule, family commitments, it just hasn't worked out all year, unfortunately, for me to take a true trip in 2016. But this time I did. I stayed at Mirage, which is not a very popular place to stay. But I flew in, and I did take a great pride when they asked if I parked the vehicle there to bring up that I did not, but I do not like your new policy. It was a mostly free offer. Part of the reason I stayed there was the first half of the trip, the first 2 days, was for a friend's 40th birthday party, and we stayed in a kind of a famous room. At the same time, I took advantage of an offer and booked some complimentary rooms. So I want to say the Mirage Casino Floor, their redesign is completely redone now. It's complete. It's been actually a couple of years. I stayed at the Mirage 30 or 40 times. But what's gone on over the last few years, I've avoided the MGM properties for the most part. I will say that what they've done with the casino floor and their little tucked away lounges is a couple of them. A center bar, which serves really nice cocktails. Excellent job. Also saw Love there, the reimagined Love, which has about six new songs. All the routines have been tweaked and modified. It was tremendous. If you like Love, you should definitely see the new version. I was just thrilled with it, and I came out feeling so good about life. Unfortunately, after that, I had to go play with these guys having a 40th birthday party, and they were kind of Vegas novices, and so it was kind of a shit show. One of the things that they did, though, was rent a lanai suite, which is one of the cool Mirage rooms with the pool in the backyard and all that. Very clean, very cool 20 years ago. It was not contemporary, but it was on my bucket list to go down that hallway and find those high roller rooms and see what they were all about. This is definitely not a Mike E moment. I didn't even bother taking pictures. I mean, there probably were tube TVs in this room. Let me put it that way. One of the things I want to talk about that I did and was made fun of on Twitter and on another podcast is I went over to the Silverton Casino, which is about 15 minutes off the Strip, and they're connected to a Bass Pro Shop and a Cracker Barrel restaurant, which I didn't know what the Cracker Barrel thing is, and it's rocking chairs and 90-minute waits. Food was fine. I like the gambling at the Silverton quite a bit. Great blackjack game. Bass Pro Shops. I killed 2 hours there, so a really pretty good side trip, I think. And to you people out there that criticize me and made fun of me and said I was going to the Claim Jumpers of casino experiences, you were right, but I liked it. I was fine with it. Quickly, want to talk about Olympic betting. One of the things I was excited about was getting a chance to bet on the Olympic Games. The way that it works is you could only bet on things that have that aren't involving judging. So you can't bet on things like gymnastics or diving. I mean, I love diving. I love the sport. I'm sure you do too, Tim.
Oh, and I love it.
You can't bet on that, so that's kind of a bummer.
Damn.
Because we know how we judge it. But anyway, the things you can bet on are things with score. Swimming, basketball, soccer, football, all those good things. Things where there's actually a score and outcome, not based on a judge directly. And I found it very fun to bet on the Olympic Games. I don't feel terrible about that. Mostly I bet in USA. So there you go. Anyway, I had a fabulous trip in Las Vegas. I ate at a lot of nice places. They've all been talked about recently. And I drank at a lot of nice places. It was a great trip. It was great to spend some extended time out there. And I love the podcast. I can't wait to see so many of you guys in them to listen to the show and tweet and everything like that. I'm getting so fired up for it. It's going to be amazing.
All right, Al, thank you.
Thank you.
Always good to hear from him.
Mm-hmm. Any desire to go to Silverton?
No.
I think we've talked about this before. No. Even with a Bass Pro Shop?
No.
No.
No. I don't want to spend time at Bass Pro Shop during my vacation.
Okay.
I do that pre-fishing vacation. Go to that kind of place, but no. I'm sure it's a lovely place, but no, I'll stick to my strip and downtown stuff. Unless you have some burning desire to go to Cracker Barrel.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad Al enjoyed it, though.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Al hanging out in a big rocking chair at Cracker Barrel. There's an image for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Olympics are coming to an end. How do you feel about this?
I'm okay with this. I'm
kind of over-Olympicked. Been watching a little too much of it.
The closing ceremony will never beat the London closing ceremony because there will be no Spice Girls reunion, and that will always be the best one.
Was that closing or was that opening?
That was closing.
No. Oh. You can tell my memory is great. All right. So I have enjoyed coming up with ways to improve the Olympics, though. My different scenarios for, like, it would be more entertaining if they had one round of diving where they were all wearing overalls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It makes no sense. I also like combining some of the sports, like diving and then swimming 100 meters,
mm-hmm.
things like that. But I'm sure they will never happen. If the Olympics ever want to improve their ratings and they come to me, I've got a million ideas for making those sports better. All right. Let's see who we got next. Ken.
Hi, podcasting Tim and Michelle. It's Cam and Patty from British Columbia, Canada.
Hello.
We're halfway through an 8-8 trip, anniversary trip to Las Vegas. We've just finished 4 days at the Gold Coast Casino, and I'm just calling from the casino floor. And then we're transferring over to Caesars for the last 4 nights. Just a couple of quick notes. I know you're not a big fan of getting off the strip, but for those listeners, you can't go wrong with the Gold Coast Casino. The comps are quite reasonable. They get you a room without much play, and there's no resort fees when you have your comp room. It's under $10 by lift to get to the strip, and they have plenty of 96 video poker, blackjack, $5 blackjack, 3-2 odds, double deck. You can double down after splitting. So pretty good gambling here. It is a bit of a locals casino. There's two excellent restaurants here, Ping Pang Pong and the Noodle Exchange. Just a couple of quick notes. We went and saw Steve Miller at the Chelsea on Friday at the Cosmopolitan.
Abra, abra, cadabra. I want to reach out and grab ya.
And went to the sports bar, and I got to tell you, the bartender bill was phenomenal. Just great service, very friendly. And we asked him about the potato skins. We thought we'd have a little bite before the concert. He said, I not only order them, eat them, but I'm also glad to pay for them.
Thank you.
Just paying for a drink, excuse me. And also down at the D playing craps. I went down there because a couple of folks had mentioned that the D craps was basically their ATM. And I guess I'm the guy making the deposits there. But the dealer was phenomenal. When you handed in your player's card, he memorized everybody's name. And when you were making your bets, he called you by name. Anyways, having a great trip. Perhaps we'll call in again later. Thanks. Keep up the great work. We love the podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
You
for the report. We appreciate that.
Hope you're having a great time on your anniversary trip.
Yep. All right. Next up.
Hey, guys. Matt from California.
Hey, Matt.
Just getting ready to get in my car and head out for my from my solo trip here. But right before, I'm walking right by La Bayou, and you know, they say you never know how much you're going to miss something until it's gone, and they're taking down the awning right now. They're taking down all the screens and everything on La Bayou. So I don't know where I'm going to get wasted in 5 minutes again on Fremont, but kind of sad to see it go. And it even looks a little more depressing than it always does. other than that, just had breakfast at Dupar's. We all know the pancakes are great, but sitting at the counter as a solo person, I realized why they're so buttery goodness. Full 4 ounce ladle full of butter right on top. There's the secret. That'll do it every time. All right, I'll call back with another couple trip reports. Have a good one.
All right, thanks for the report. Yep, that's the magical touch on those pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Soaked in butter. Mm. And healthy too.
Mm-hmm.
It's real dairy. It's good for your bones. Yeah. All right, final call.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, it's Greg and Michelle from Buffalo. We are back after our trip to watch the Riviera blow up, which, people saw the pictures and the videos on the Facebook group. And
thanks for sharing your pictures on the Facebook group, too. That was, and your experiences.
It was very cool. It was kind of wild being out on that balcony at the Royal, which is the little hotel across Convention Center Boulevard, and feeling the balcony rock for 10 seconds while the thing is coming down. It was pretty cool. The interesting thing for us on this trip was we had a bunch of travel zoos and Groupons, and I'll do apologies to your sponsor, Viator. We didn't do any Viator things this time, but we have in the past, and they're great. So we've used it in New Orleans, which you've talked about on the show before. Some great things in New Orleans with it. So some of the things we used were, we got a $35 travel zoo for both of us on the happy half hour on the high roller, which was great. And we got Mark as our bartender, who it was just her and I in April on the high roller with Mark. And he was our bartender again, so it was fun. Talked to him, enjoyed, being with a nice group of people. We had two people on there who were afraid of heights, so that was kind of interesting. But, booze helps with that. I'll tell you what booze doesn't help with. Let me get off the Groupon and Travel Zoo thing for a minute. We did the Wines Around the World. It was an event that they had at the Container Park that we bought early bird tickets on. It happened to be the Saturday last weekend when we got in, so we thought, oh, that would be fun. Except when it's 106 degrees outside, you really just don't feel like drinking a lot of wine.
Oh, no.
It was kind of hot. What you do feel like doing, though, is immediately after going down to the Atomic and drinking a lot of bourbon. So that helped tremendously. What else did we do on the Groupon Travel Zoo thing? We went to the Strip Burger in the Fashion Outlets, and that was kind of cool, actually. We went before we left on Wednesday, getting on the plane, and there weren't a lot of people there, but it's a really great value because for $29, we got two burgers, which were delicious. They were great burgers. You can get any side you want, fries, sweet potato fries, onion rings. We did a sampler thing and decided we would probably just go with the pickle chips from here on in. And then you get two milkshakes with booze in it. So how can you go wrong there? That was delicious. Michelle had a s'mores shake, which actually gave you kind of s'more ingredients on top, and the marshmallow was even flambéed on the top of it, so it was kind of a burnt marshmallow, which was great. So it was like eating a s'more for her, plus the shake. And I think I did some peanut butter thing, which was, booze, who cares? Oh, no, it was Kahlua. There you go. So that was another Groupon that we did. I'm sure there were more than that, but the ones we were really interested in was the Great Deal on the High Roller for $35 and the Strip Burger, which I haven't heard a lot about on the show. And it's fine. If you're down at the Fashion Show Mall, it's a fine place to eat. If you don't know where to go, especially if you have the Groupon. Other than that, usual trip, we stayed at the Strat for a couple nights because we had a deal. Strat was fine. It's a room. It was cheap, so it was a good value. We got to go up in the tower and hang out, which was fine because it was hot. And it was air-conditioned up there. We also stayed at Golden Gate for three nights. Michelle had three nights down there, and that's always great. We are looking forward to VIMP when we will be staying at the D, so we'll see all of you then. And I think we got a couple of those Groupon Travel Zoo vouchers left that will still be good then. So there you go. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and we hope everybody going to Vegas soon has a great time.
Awesome. Thanks for the report.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you again at VIMP.
Yes.
As always. And Strip Burger.
Love Strip Burger.
Yeah.
We haven't been there in ages.
Yeah. It's been a while, but that is one of my favorite burgers on the Strip. It's good. You're sitting outside. I love those pickle chips too.
Oh, yeah.
Dipping them in ranch, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just don't find ourselves down there. It's right across from Wynn. And yeah, they've got some good food and some good prices, and I recommend it for sure.
Absolutely.
So glad you had a good experience there as well. All righty. This week's listener purchase of the week. A lot of things to choose from. I went with somebody bought a case of Planters dry roasted sunflower kernels. Now, the reason I went with this is because it's just the edible part of the sunflower seed.
Oh, good.
And I approve of that because sunflower seeds, as is, without, like, when they're in the shell, the least rewarding snack food there is. The effort, well, there's not that much effort, really, but you got to put some work into it. The reward is minimal. So it's like, if you like sunflower seeds, just buy the fucking kernels. So whoever did this, they bought a fucking case of them, so somebody likes them. I approve. I'm not a big fan of the sunflower seed, and plus they're messy. You know, you get people
who spit them somewhere.
I know, you get people who eat them at the ball game. It's like, oh, good, now all your stuff that's been in your mouth is all over the place. That's not good. Nobody wants that.
No.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, please use our link at 500bymidnight.com. Click through from that before you add stuff to your cart. We get a small percentage. You don't have to spend anything additional as part of us belonging to their affiliate program, and it's an easy way to support the show. So thank you for everybody who has, to everybody who's been using that link. We do appreciate it. All right, few PayPal donations this week. Thank you to Brian for a recurring monthly donation.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Our old friend Martine from Holland.
Aww.
Self-proclaimed number one fan from Holland. Can't make Vimp this year.
Oh.
But is going to be visiting Vegas a couple weeks later with his wife. Said he has a lot to look forward to.
Good.
Then he said he still listens to the show every single week. And Michelle still cracks him up every single time. Huh. Well, great. Good.
Why, thank you.
She cracks me up, too. All right. Thanks, Martine. Inga.
We'll miss seeing you at Vimp, but hope you have a great time.
Inga with a karma donation for some local gambling. She is also going to be at Vimp.
Yay.
Turning 60 during the event this year.
Awesome.
Nice way to spend your birthday.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing you again at Vimp. And finally, Mike from Oklahoma with a karma donation saying thanks for the great podcast. First trip since 2009.
Ooh.
We'll make it count. Thank you. Have a great time. All right. Anything noteworthy before we go?
You make me laugh every week.
Aw. Thank you. Just once a week. Wow.
I'm kidding.
All right. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that someone finds me amusing. Maybe my brand of humor doesn't translate to Holland very well.
This is similar to the time when Chris said that I looked great and you were like, "And how do I look?"
I'm always amused when there are those types of compliments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take it as a slight at all. All right, before we go, a reminder, if you have not yet purchased my book, The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas, and you enjoy this podcast and my brand of humor, you might enjoy the book. You can find out all the details at lasvegasoutsidersbook.com. As always, you can find show notes and links and stuff at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us at 500gmail.com if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. Of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We hope you have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.